All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. My name is Tom Arquino, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts, check them out. It is June 29th, 8:30 in the morning on a blistering hot day. I mean, it is going to be, I don't know where you live. I'm imagining if you live in the United States, it's going to be hot today. Heat wave has hit the East Coast and the Northwest. I've been watching a lot of Olympic tryouts. I don't know if anybody's been watching this stuff. I'm always fascinated. I'm not a big, like, track and field. You know, I do enjoy running, but I'm not a running fanatic. You know, so I don't spend a lot of time watching this kind of stuff. But every time the Olympics comes around, I get super interested in whatever, you know, winter or summer. So I've been watching a lot of track and field and running. And, man, it's just been freaking great, man. Especially the running. I love these guys and gals that run so fast, so cool. It looks like we got some great participants this year. Should be a lot of fun to watch. Hopefully it doesn't get muddled up with something weird. More shall be revealed. So I did a couple things. I did a couple podcasts yesterday. And one of the podcasts I did, I was talking to a guy, and we were talking about microdosing and his philosophy on it. And we never even really got into that. We actually, I don't know, it was interesting conversation, but I kept trying to relate and talk to, because, you know, in his general thought is that, you know, through microdosing or dosing or, you know, tripping, you know, you figure out the world, right? And then, you know, you come down and then the world comes back and you don't have it figured out at all. But, and I kept trying to kind of relate, you know, through, you know, this battle that's constantly going on with me is with self, you know, self doesn't allow me to do certain things. And he kept saying, you know, you keep saying self. And I was like, yeah, self. And then went to a meeting last night, my Monday night meeting at 6:00. I did not go last week, but I did go the week before. So this is my second week to attend. And I didn't go last week because I just forgot, completely forgot. So I usually have my father over on Monday nights for dinner. Traditionally, we have had him over, and I told him the other day, I said, I'm not going to be able to do dinner on Monday nights because I will be attending a meeting. So we're going to do it on a different night, Sunday night or something. But regardless, I went to the meeting, and it was on step two. And I was a little bummed out because the first one I went back to was the second half. I don't know if you are attending meetings and you do attend a step meeting, a lot of the times the 12th step, they will break into two segments. So one night you'll go and they'll read the first half of the 12th step, and then the second night or the following week they'll read the second half. And I was appreciative, but up and always I get fucking annoyed by the 4th and the 12th because they always break it up. They're super long, and I just get ugh. So my first meeting back 2 weeks ago, and it was the second half of step 12. I was like, just fucking perfect. But at the I was like, you know, no big deal, it's great. And but I was bummed out because I missed last week, which was step one. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. But last night was step two. And step two is, I almost want to say, it's funny, every time I get to a step, I look at it and I go, this is probably the most important step of them all. And it's not, but the second step to me is one of the, is a byproduct, to me, my relationship with the second step is a byproduct of all the time and effort that I've put into this program. You know, when it comes, besides the fact that I don't drink, when it comes to really using this program to help me stay in a place that's not going to get me any closer to wanting to have a drink, the step two is where it's at for me. And it's came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And you know, it's great. It's a great step, and I suggest you anybody out there read it. You know, it's great, but it talks about the different people, the different kind of people, and so they have the belligerent one, right? And then you have, and I'm not going to read this step, but then you have the, I might have to read it, but basically you just have a few different kinds of people. You have, you know, the belligerent one, fuck it, I don't believe in anything. Then you have the one that, you know, picks everything apart. And then you have the atheist who doesn't believe in, and, you know, read the step. It's a great, great step. But out of all the words that's written in the step, the one word that jumps out to me is rightly, right? You know, I've shared this before, but I'm going to get into it, right? You know, I did not grow up in a religious, church-based, Christian sort of family. We never went to church. I don't really know why. I guess my dad wasn't really into church growing up, even though he used to sweep out the church, right? He used to do things at the church. And my mom wasn't really much into the church thing either. So I think any attempts at going to church in the beginning probably were brought on by us, maybe me or my brother as kids. We wouldn't have had a date church, or maybe we did go to priest or Sunday school. I don't know. But I know that as I got older and I started hanging out with my buddy John, and whose family was very religious, very, very much so into church. But, you know, not like Catholic church, you know, Christian church. I don't know, whatever. I don't even know what the freaking things are called. But I used to go to his house, and then I would bring nice clothes, and we would go to church on Sundays. And it was fun, you know. We used to make coffee and drink coffee, and we'd go to Sunday school, and, you know, it was a whole thing. I didn't understand a lick of it. But it was kind of fun to go to, and the, you know, seeing the people and shaking hands, and it was quite a social event. So, but that was, you know, that was church, right? And I never was taught how to pray. You know, I've said before that Jesus or whoever it is you pray to, God, Jesus, whatever, he ran very close second to Santa. And I say that only meaning that if I was reaching out, I was wanting something, right? I mean, Santa was like a whole thing, you know. They sent us a giant thick book for me to browse through to pick all the shit I wanted from him. How come they never sent me the wish list for God, right? Probably because I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. Probably because I didn't know how to pray. You know, I was the kind of person, dear Lord, I want this. Dear Lord, I want this. Dear Lord, fix this. Dear Lord, fix that. Save this, save that, save me. I'll never do that again. That was my prayer. And like I told that guy yesterday, that's because I'm a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility that can't drink alcohol. There's a lot of other stuff I can't do, but I can't keep adding to that title. I like the title. It used to be I'm a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility. That's my disease. But I also have to remember that I can't drink. But I can't do drugs either. And I can't eat too much food, so blah. I think the first part of the title covers all of it, really. I'm a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility. People are like, well, what does that mean? That means when I wake up, I'm the first thing I think about. What do I want? And people are like, well, I think we're all like that. Yeah, well, you know, there's a balance, you know. I was, you know, so self-centered meaning I'm all about me, meaning I'm lacking, like it says, deficient in humility, meaning I have an imbalance in my spiritual position, right? I'm all about me. I'm all about take, take, take. I'm not about give, give, give. I'm just, what can I get? You know, who can help me? Who's going to do what for me? What can I do for me? You know, me, 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 me. I remember this 60 Minutes episode. I don't know. It was a long time ago. But Bob, whatever his name is, went into some country, Italy or Rome. I don't know where the hell he was at. But somewhere on the coast of some island on the high cliffs is a big giant church with a bunch of basically priests that live in this thing. They don't talk. All they do is pray to God all day. And they, you know, any of us would be like, oh, my God, how awful is that? But they love it. Keeps them closer to God. You know, they have, it seems like there's no personality is involved. No self is involved. It's all humility. Everything they do is for the Lord. They pray all day for the Lord. They get up and pray for the Lord. It's just, they're like monks, right? That's the extreme version. You know, there's that version, you know. And then you have me, you know, who's the exact opposite. I do nothing for the Lord. I'm all about me. Me, 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 me. Ego, pride. You know, it used to be illegal to be prideful. It's a sin. It used to be illegal to be prideful. I wonder why. So it's finding a balance between the two. You know, you need to have enough, because self does play a role. I mean, you know, if it wasn't for self, I probably wouldn't own a business. I probably wouldn't want to work. You know, and if you're too much self, all you care about is work, and all you care about is success, and all you care about is money, and all you care about is how you look, and all you care about is looking rich and famous, yada, yada, yada. And if you have too much humility, and I don't know if you can, I don't know if that's even possible to have too much, but the humblest of humble are the guys that live in that church on that cliff that just pray and do everything and dedicated their whole lives to God. Well, I'm not doing that. No, I'm not doing that. I respect it. I appreciate it. I think it's pretty cool, but I'm not doing it. So it's finding out a balance and figuring out how to have a balance of both. Center. I don't want to make it about politics, but it's kind of like politics, right? You know, if you're too far right or too far left, you know, that's not good. I personally find myself more centric. You know, I like a little of this and I like a little of that. And that's comes, and now we come to my self-centered issue with deficiency in humility. Meaning that up until a long time ago, well, up until getting sober, and I will say it didn't even happen when I got sober, up until like a few years back, you know, I really, my disease is a self-centered asshole with deficiency in humility. It means I only care about myself. I don't think of others. I'm lacking humility. And that's what I've been working on. That's what this program has taught me. And that's what that second step is all about. Because for the longest time, you know, I was all about getting help from God. Help, help, help. And it wasn't till, and I shared last night in the meeting last night, I go, it wasn't really till a few years back, maybe it's probably been 5 years when I got myself involved in that business deal with that lady that when she went rogue and I lost all control and I was helpless and I was insane because I got involved in a business that was about greed, about money. My whole motivation was money. It was a quick money grab. And honestly, if we had done it right, might have done really well. In fact, the girl that ended up buying the business is still doing very well. But we couldn't pull it together. And I knew better. I knew better and got involved anyway, and I got what I got. And there was a moment that I was absolutely helpless, and I was insane over it. And I remember I said, "Dear God, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you." I didn't ask for anything. I didn't say, "Dear God, let her die in her sleep. Dear God, let the business burn to the ground." I said, "Dear God, my shoulders aren't big enough and I'm turning it over to you." And I had to say it over and over. And I had to say it out loud. And it cut it in half. It cut the anxiety in half. understanding, for me to understand how to pray rightly was a fucking game changer. I asked for nothing. I don't ask for money. I don't ask for, you know, success. I don't ask for fame. I don't ask for riches. I don't ask for anything. Dear God, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. Dear God, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm not strong enough to handle it. Dear God, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning. I recognize that I'm not God. I recognize I can't take care of this. I recognize it's out of my control. I'm turning it over to you. I'm having faith. And it's all mental. It is fucking all mental. Nothing physical. You know, there wasn't a physical relief. It was mental. It was basically self not getting what self wanted and saying, listen, I've self's gotten too, his pants got too big for himself. And I had to recognize a higher power. And I use that now. And from that moment until now, I have a relationship with a higher power. I consider, you know, everything I do under the watch of a higher power. Not perfect. Not perfect. But I think about it. I definitely think about it. And it's a huge deal. It's been a game changer for me. Understanding that there is a God, I'm not him, and I turn things over to him. Big, big deal. And I'm super grateful.
There is no great thing to stop and sing, waiting for the rain, and this perfect pill that's on too much, on the edge again. Don't look away.
Self-centered assholes with deficiencies in humility. I mean, I think that's just kind of our nature. Some of us are worse. Some of us are not. But I think we all like to think of ourselves, you know. Some of us hide it better. But what ends up happening is if you don't address it, you end up being fucking miserable, right? You end up being miserable. self-centered, meaning what's going on, I need to know everything, it leads us to all the fucking issues. You know, I talked about minding our own business. You know, if you're self-centered, you're fucking not minding your own business. You're all up in people's business because you don't have enough humility to know better. You know, and you're probably one of those people that gets in people's businesses, finds out information, and tells other people. People. You're the extreme. You know? We get better. We're not perfect. Some people just don't mind their own business and get nosy and find out information, but don't tell. That's better. But the problem is that now you're like, you know, and what's my goal on a daily basis? Serenity. Serenity. You know, I shared in the meeting last night. I said I spent a lot of time in this meeting, in this program, worrying about drinking again. Can't drink. Can't drink. You know, is that, I think that's what they want me to say. You know, that's how they want me to act. I'm afraid of drinking. It's probably been in the last 5 years of being sober that I've started to focus on my serenity. I'm like, fuck it. If I'm going to be sober, I might as well be happy. If I'm going to be... And unfortunately, the trap that we fall in is that we quit drinking and we think that that fixes the thinking, and it does not. I don't know how many people are out there don't drink and are fucking miserable and unhappy with a smile, right? It's that honest look at ourselves. Are you happy? I did a podcast with a guy over in the UK about fitness and training and, you know, and I told him as a 52-year-old man, I don't know what the fuck I want or what I should want. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I should eat. I don't know what I'm supposed to eat. I don't know shit. And I don't really fucking think anybody else knows either. You know, I'm trying to work out and eat so that I can look like I did at 19. Well, that's not fucking healthy. That's self-centered. Why? What, do you think I'm going to score some babes? I mean, what are you thinking, Tom? Are my expectations of myself skewed? You know, I was talking to him. I said, you know, I could lose 10 pounds. Maybe at 52, I'm supposed to be about 10 pounds overweight. I don't even know. 10 pounds overweight from what? Amazing? To be amazing for what? For chicks? To walk around without a shirt? I don't even know what I'm even wanting. I can tell you at 52, I got up this morning. I ran 4.5 miles. My amazing wife met me at the coffee shop for an iced coffee with my daughter. Drove down to our house that we own. Saw my other son. FaceTimed my son, Sam. Fucking took a shower, made everybody breakfast, had lunches, drove to work and doing a podcast in my fucking studio. And I am still wanting more. Self is not satisfied. I could probably find 1,000 people that would trade me for what I have. I'm doing pretty good. I need to lighten up on myself. I need to find some more humility when it comes to me because, listen, I'm just finding some shit about me to talk about. You know, it is a struggle that I go through, understanding what to eat, exercise, what's a good, you know, what is a good weight for me? What's a good look? You know, and I think I'm probably doing just fine. But self, he just likes that fucking, that glory, you know. And I was talking, I don't know, about somewhere or something, about these old men that are on Facebook that have like this old gray hair, but their body's all chiseled. I'm like, is that what you want? Yes, I do. I know I don't. I don't, I'm crazy. But these are the things that slowly start to creep into our lives and start to create, you know, sad, you know, what happened down there in Florida. Very sad. But, you know, I was reading this article this morning, and they were talking about how that there was a pool there. And water had been coming into it and eroding away the foundation and rotting away the rebar. You know? I don't know if that's what brought that freaking building down, but it didn't help. And they were interviewing a guy who was anonymous, of course, but he said that, listen, that pool room, the pool pump, the room where they kind of ran all the mechanics for the pool was constantly flooded and wet and rotting and cracking the walls and the rebar and you know, one day at a time, right? That's why I bring this stuff up, you know? These are like little things that I'm like, oh, that's no big deal. That's no big deal. They are big deals. Yeah, they may not be a big deal at the moment, but one day they will be. And then you'll be like that guy sitting with your fucking face in your hands going, why me, God? Why me? All right, let's do a reading, and then we'll get the hell out of here. Uh-oh. I think the grandma just got Teresa. Let's see, Daily Reflections. Daily Reflections. All right, here we go. June 29th, is that what it is? Nice. All right, June 29th, a rippling effect. Having learned to live so happily, we'd show everyone else how. Yes, we of AA did dream those dreams. How natural that was, since most alcoholics are bankrupt idealists. So why shouldn't we share our way of life with everyone? Question mark. 12 steps and 12 traditions. The great discovery of sobriety led me to feel the need to spread the good news to the world around me. The grandiose thoughts of my drinking days returned. Later, I learned that concentrating on my own recovery was a full-time process. As I became a sober citizen in this world, I observed a rippling effect which, without conscious effort on my part, reached any related facility or outside enterprise without diverting me from my primary purpose of staying sober and helping other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Huh. Yeah. Yeah, it is. It does happen quite a bit. People get sober and they want to fucking scream it from the rooftops. Everybody should be sober. It happens with everything. You know, I remember my ex-father-in-law. He fucking had celiac. And everybody should... Weed is bad. I'm like, well, I feel okay. Weed will kill you. I think I'm all right. You're a fool if you eat wheat. Oh, okay. We went gluten-free. It wasn't horrible. I mean, it wasn't a game changer. If I went wheat-free, it was probably because I wanted to somehow get in better shape. Everything I seem to do is about me. How I eat, how I work, you know. Maybe not this podcast. This podcast is really just about sharing and talking and debriefing. I've had a lot of people that have talked to me recently about this podcast. I had a guy just recently mention that he likes the podcast, not because of the drinking part. Which is fine. It isn't really about drinking. I can't drink. If you're an alcoholic, you should not drink. But I've said this 100 times. It's a shame that to be exposed to this kind of program, you have to fucking be an alcoholic. It's just unfortunate because there's a lot of wonderful things that take place inside this program. And I had shared about somebody that was close to me who hated something and they were never going back. And I was like, you cannot carry that shit. And he was like, I appreciated that. Or he recognized it or he believed it. Or he lives that way, whatever it was. But we had a conversation about it. And I thought that was really cool. You know, we don't want to drink. We don't want to smoke. We don't want to eat too much. We don't want to have sex. Or, you know, that's inappropriate, I suppose. We don't want to spend too much money. It's all, you know, those seven deadly sins, the things that we try not to do, and we try to build a lifestyle and a life around it so that it's not as easy to slip into. We want to maintain our building, you know. And our thoughts and prayers are clearly and always with the families of anybody that was infected by that tragedy down in Florida. You know, it's awful. Have a great day, everybody.